This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, Not of the World, Pastor Scott reminds us that we're to be salt and light in this world, spreading the message of hope that is Jesus Christ. This message was recorded Sunday, March 29, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. Could you imagine Jesus? You know, he came born in a manger, you know, very poor conditions. Left his throne in heaven. Left, you know, it's like leaving the comforts of your place and going someplace where it's like really not very desirable. And it's like maybe like a missionary would do. He would leave his home, go into a third world country, roll up his sleeves, roll up his pants, and get to work serving the people. And Jesus left his home, came to earth for, what, some 33 and a half years, they say, and rode into Jerusalem, knowing that, man, he was going to get the beating of his life. Torn to shreds, bloodied, nailed to a cross, left hanging there to die, and then, you know, returning back home. Imagine, like, wow. You know, you hear, we're going to be taking our missions offerings later today, but you can imagine some of our missionaries that sacrifice so much to leave their home to go to a foreign country to serve people so that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I went to a class with a guy several years ago, and he was a huge, huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And because the place where he were going, you couldn't wear that nice yellow jacket with the white sleeves and the black and gold and all that. And he had to give all that up so he could serve in Guyana and just so he can reach people for the Lord. And just as Jesus came to this earth, because, you know, this wasn't his place. He was not of this world. And he came here because he loves you. You can imagine that now. You know, you can imagine leaving that royal place in heaven, coming to a place like this. Like, you probably right now thinking, like, I wish I had air conditioning here. It is hot today and I'm sweating. And he came to earth to endure all that, plus the beating, shedding of his blood for all of us, so he could save all of us. Amen? Many of you have heard that phrase, not of this world. Maybe you've seen the stickers. First time I seen that, I was looking at, what is that? Then I kind of realized what it was. And that's a very, you know, a catchy phrase, not of this world. But you know what? That phrase is a rock-solid God truth that comes straight out of the Word of God. Did you know that? Many of us might get confused when you first hear it. You know, like, what is he saying? You know, how can I not be of this world? When you think about Jesus, when he came, he went full out into his surroundings. Once he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, came out of the 40 day of the wilderness, test from the devil, he went on a mission, 3.5 years doing miracles. He went to village, and he interacted with people. He hung out with tax collectors, with sinners. And during that 3.5 year period, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing, he was delivering. And, you know, at first glance, and it looked like that he had become an actual part of the world around him with all the interaction going on between himself and everyone else around him. But as you will see, God wants us, you and I, to be actively involved in the world so that we can accomplish all of His perfect will for our lives. And I think, you know, the reason why God had put this on my heart to share now is we have a week before Easter. And we are in this world. Yeah? And we have friends. Yeah? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We have friends who need to hear the good news. And this is a great chance for all of us to actively share the good news with our family and friends. So some of us think that this phrase may misinterpret what God is trying to tell us, making the statement that we are not to be of the world. They think that maybe we should retreat from life and everyone in general. Maybe becoming monks or hermits, reclusive. Maybe we got to go live someplace down Kau on the side of the beach and just stay away from everybody. I mean, some of us would love to do that, some men. And they would just love to go and recluse, but that's not what God calls us to do. How can we witness to our family and friends if we became a hermit? We couldn't. How can we pray for people? How can we love people? How can we teach? How can we help deliver people if we are not actively in the world trying to reach them, trying to connect with them in the first place? Yeah, because really, the Bible tells us that, you know, you are not of this world, but you are in the world. See, I think once we say yes to Jesus Christ, then we become citizens of a different place, of heaven. But we are left here. Because if God didn't need us, and as soon as we said yes to Christ, then poof, we'll be gone. But if we say yes to Jesus Christ, He leaves us here to do work. Amen? How many of you know you have work to do? Yeah, right. More than half of you know what you need to do. So this is the thing. Okay? We are not of this world, but we are ambassadors in this world. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah, we are ambassadors. We are representatives. We represent the Most High. Sometimes, I tell you the truth, we are not the best representatives, right? Especially when I see you drive. I'm right behind you. That's why I got to hit my brakes. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So we got to get people reconciled to God. When Jesus got crucified, left in the tomb, He rose again on the third day. He appeared to the disciples, and then he left. He ascended to heaven. We became His ambassadors. We became His representative. Okay? And we represent Him where? In church on Sunday? He's already here. But you represent Him in your home, in your workplace, on the road when you cut me off. Yeah, all you laughing, that's the guys who do that. But you represent Him when you go shopping, on the baseball field, on the volleyball court, on the basketball court, when you're watching your children and you're cussing them when they miss from basket. You are representing Jesus Christ. And I can guarantee you, we are not the most perfect representatives, but that is why we come to church. That is why we have a relationship with God. Because we try to better ourselves. Amen? A lot of people will tell you they don't come to church because they see how church people behave. But they don't understand is that's why we come, to try and make an improvement in our lives. Amen? You know, when Paul wrote this, he described himself and his co-workers as Christ's ambassadors, representatives of Christ. To who? To this lost and dying world. And if you look, if you watch the news every day, every week, you see how much this world needs Jesus Christ. They need us to go and represent them in our neighborhoods, in our families. So God was using Paul and his friends to speak to the Corinthians, this message that they need to be reconciled to God. And I think we need to do that in Hilo, in Puna, Kurdistan, Mountain View, Kau. We need to speak that message of reconciliation, that people can come back to have a relationship with God because of what Jesus did. He speaks not in his own name, but on behalf of the one who represents, in the name of Christ. And Paul, his whole duty, his whole responsibility was to interpret the ruler's mind faithfully to those who he was sent to talk to. And it's the same with us. We are no different. We have the same mission as Paul. We need to take the very word of God, and when we can read it, we can understand it, we can catch the heart of God when we read the word. And when we take that word, take that heart out to our workplace, to our family, to our friends, then they can see the love of Christ in you. And that's what we get to do. Paul used this term ambassador twice, and both in connection with his evangelistic work. He said, "Pray for me," he wrote from prison, "that the utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." He wrote that to the church in Ephesus. Paul called himself an ambassador because he knew that when he proclaimed the gospel to the people, the promises urged to sinners to receive that reconciliation, you know, he represented the heart of God when he went out. And I look at Paul as an incredible guy. You know, he started off on the wrong side, if you know. He was Saul. He got knocked off his horse. God spoke to him. He realized that he was on the wrong side. Like so many of us, we were at one time, we call that BC days, before Christ, we were on the wrong side. Somebody may have shared with us. We got knocked off our horse. We come to our senses. Now we come on this side. And now, you know, he represents God so well. He gets beaten. He gets stoned, not like how we think stoned, but you know what I mean? Like I was talking last week about our words. He gets rocks thrown at him for the sake of the community we live in. And he represents God well. You see the heart. He writes most of the New Testament, in which when I read, it is so valuable. And what he wrote as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we read today and we learn how we can be Christ's representatives here on earth. The figure of ambassadorship highlights the authority Paul had. You know that God gives you authority here on earth? He does, you know. Don't take it lightly. As he is representing his Lord, as long as he remained faithful to the terms of his commission, He said neither less nor more than he had been given to say. He said exactly what the Lord needed him to say. And we can follow his example because he was a good representative of Jesus Christ. Amen. Someday I'd like to look in the mirror and say, man, you're a good representative of Jesus Christ. And I'm getting there slowly. I have areas to work in. You know my areas. I talk about them a lot. A lot of it is my mouth and my driving. And that's what it is. So what does an ambassador do? Do you know? Because you need to know this, because each and every one of you are an ambassador. If you said yes to Jesus Christ, you have become his representative here on earth. Amen? Amen. So this is what they represent the one who sent them. Yeah? You're in the world, but not of the world. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's so powerful. For all that is in the world, the lust, the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. I believe that this particular revelation from the Lord has two sides. Like looking at a coin. On one side, we are to be in the world, as you see in one of the scripture verses, in some of the scriptures we're reading. Jesus is telling his Father not to take us out of the world, since we all have a great commission, a call from him to try and save and help as many as we can. Man, we got to have the mindset of this. One more for the Lord. Every day, one more for the Lord. And if you are inviting your friends to church, inviting your friends to fellowship, inviting your friends to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, right on, I applaud you. We cannot reach the lost, the downtrodden, the helpless, the poor, the sinners, the people who are being held in bondage, if we're not in the world trying to reach them with the message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. That is what is meant by the Lord when he tells us that we have to continue to be living in this world. We are born into this world, and as a result of the curse of Adam and Eve, until it's our time to leave and depart this life, God will expect each and every one of us to come and work for him. Amen? Once you enter into that full surrender with the Lord, then you are placed in his perfect will. And God wants you. He employs you. You're actually part of God's army. Amen? So, but this revelation has another side to it. Though we are to be actively in the world to the point where God would lead us to do his work, we have to realize and be very aware not to become too much a part of this world. As you can see from some of the scriptures we'll read this morning, God is telling us to be in this world, but to keep ourselves unspotted from the sins in the world. In other words, he doesn't want us to become spotted or contaminated, tainted by the bad and evil things of this world. And the only way we can keep ourselves from becoming too spotted or contaminated from this world is not to get too deep and friendly in the ways of this world. In other words, God is asking us to walk that very fine line. between actively and properly involved in the world so we can help people, but at the same time making sure that we do not fall into the trap where we become part of the world, seeking things of the world, fall into evil and corruptness of this world. It's a really fine line that God calls us to, you know, because it's like, okay, you got to be in this dirty, filthy world, but you got to stay clean. It's like, wow, that's pretty difficult, yeah? It's like, go out in the rain and not get wet. Yeah, what are you going to do? You can oil yourself down so the water bounces off of you. You know, maybe that's how we, when we read the word and we get filled, the sin doesn't really attach to us too much because we're grounded in the word. Now, here are some verses in the Bible that are giving us specific revelation in that we are to be in the world but not of the world. And I'm going to read some of them, I'm going to explain it to you. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because you are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The first two verses, Jesus specifically is telling us that we are not to be of the world. Then he goes a step further in the third verse from James. He tells us that he wants us to remain unspotted. Jesus already told them, what good will it do for a man to gain the whole wealth of the world as his possessions and lose his soul in pursuit of acquirement of all the wealth? It'll all end up being for nothing. It's finally said and done. So we gotta watch. We cannot represent God and try catch up and doing all the worldly things. Trying to have the nicest car, the nicest clothes, the nicest house, the fastest boat. You know, we cannot do both. We gotta represent Christ, but yet stay clean. Okay? So most of us know exactly what the Lord is trying to tell us with this. And for many of us in this day and age, it might be hard. You know, with the technology that we have nowadays, and within the last 100 years, the world has become a much better place to live, work, and play. And with all of this material blessings from the Lord, it can become real easy for us to become out of balance. Instead of realizing where this abundance and wealth and knowledge is coming from, and we need to choose to stay humble and accountable in our walk with the Lord. We cannot get caught up in the pursuit of the material, of the worldly things, of the lusts and the desires of the world. We need to stay in the world, but we need to remember that we have a holy mission and a holy calling from the Lord and what he wants us to accomplish. How many of you know what God wants you to accomplish before he calls you home? How many of you know he wants you to save as much people as you can? And how many of you know that he wants you to develop that relationship with him? As Christians, we have to realize that we no longer belong to ourselves, much less the world in general, But we have been bought with a price, a heavy price, the death of Jesus. He paid that price for you. And now we actually belong to Him. Amen? Now we work for Him. The bottom line is, this is it. You are still in the world, as far as God is concerned, because He has a specific plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. And you're not going to realize that plan if you never get into His Word. Amen. He has a great, it's an incredible plan. But you got to get into the Word. You got to read it. You got to understand it. And then you got to do it. Because sometimes the plan might be not be the easiest one. You know, when He had the plan for me to come out here, I didn't want to come. I was following Him. Because it wasn't an easy thing to do. But like they say, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And it wasn't easy. It was hard, but I grew. And the plan that He has for you, I'm guarantee you, it's not going to be an easy one. But it's going to be one that's worthwhile. Amen? So while you're in this world, do not become of the world. Remember that each and every one of you, no matter if you accepted Jesus Christ last week or 10 years from now, you are His representative. And do it to the point where you can look in the mirror and say, like, wow, I am doing my very best to represent Him. And so that you can be proud of the job that you're doing for Christ. Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16605 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.